Welcome back to the Reading and Writing Podcast. I'm joined on the podcast today by best-selling writer Nick Petrie, author of the Peter Ash series. Petrie's latest novel is The Price You Pay. Writer Lee Child has written about the Peter Ash novels. Lots of characters get compared to my own Jack Reacher, but Peter Ash is the real deal. Nick, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Jeff. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, if someone hasn't yet heard about your new novel, The Price You Pay, how would you describe the novel?
Well, the series is about a guy named Peter Ash. He's a Marine Corps combat veteran still reckoning with the consequences of his years at war. His best friend is a retired career criminal named Lewis. And in The Price You Pay, Lewis's criminal past comes back to haunt him. He learns that a member of his old crew is in trouble, and he asks Peter to drive north into the teeth of a Wisconsin blizzard to rescue the man. And they find blood in the snow and a smoldering cabin and know that things are bad. They learn next that someone has stolen a dozen notebooks filled with the details of Lewis's former life, and they realize the situation has gotten much, much worse. So that's just the first few chapters of the book.
And do you remember the original idea or impetus that led you to write The Price You Pay?
I do. Readers have been asking me to write a book with Lewis at the center of it for many years. He's a career criminal who's gone straight, sort of, kind of. He grew up very poor. He has very little formal education, but he's made himself a good life. He's one of those people who has really kind of invented himself in that quintessentially American way. And the way I started thinking about this book, so in the other books, Lewis is the dangerous friend Peter can count on to show up when he's needed. But I wanted to turn the table. So this time it's Lewis who's in trouble and Peter is the one who shows up to help. And it lets me dive into, Lewis's past and dive deeper into Lewis himself, because he's really been kind of a mysterious figure up to this point. And I sort of wanted to flesh him out. Among other things, we see him as a family man, which is part of his evolution. And I really wanted to explore that idea, not only the joys of family for a guy who never thought he'd have one, but also, the existential terror of truly loving other people when you value their safety and happiness more than you value your own. I think every parent can identify with that, or anybody who loves anybody can identify with that. So it's really the story of how Lewis can or cannot transcend his past to become sort of a newer, better version of himself. It's an odyssey of redemption. And I think there's a lot of resonance for that, for all of us. I think we're all trying to figure out who our next better self could be.
Sure. So can you tell us about your original writing journey that led you to writing and getting your first novel, The Drifter, published?
Oh, sure. I have the classic 25-year overnight success story. I've been a reader forever. I mean, I really come to this as a fan. So in high school, I would get to school early to have extra time to read. And I would go through a book a day, sometimes a book and a half a day when I was in those days. And I ended up working on the student newspaper. And when I became the editor of that newspaper, I wrote an 8-part, basically soap opera, based on my friends and enemies in high school. And people would stop me in the hallway to sort of to say, that was really funny, or I really liked this, or even people I was making fun of would stop me to say that they liked it. So that was a real turning point for me. It was not just about writing something down, but it was the pleasure of an audience. And I was sort of hooked from there. So I have a master's degree in fine arts in fiction. I wrote 3 books I couldn't get published before, honestly, I sort of gave up and decided I was just going to write the thing that I wanted to read. And that became that first Peter Ash book, The Drifter. And I'd found an agent for the previous book who had tried to sell it, but sort of in the middle of that process, the crash happened in 2007-08, and suddenly publishing was, they weren't spending a nickel on somebody who wasn't a proven hit, because we didn't know if the whole world was going to melt down. So I took a sledgehammer to my kitchen. I sort of threw myself into some house projects, but you know, my wife, Margaret, will remind me when I'm not writing that I'm kind of a pain in the ass to live with. So she said, go, come on, start something else. And that first book really came out of the my day-to-day life, which was, I was working as a freelance home inspector. So you buy a house, you hire a guy like me to tell you what's wrong with it. And I had all these customers who were coming home from overseas. They were veterans of the surge, basically. And, you know, I kind of fell in love with these young men and women who, some of them had really given up an awful lot and had no idea what they were getting into in order to serve their country, or maybe just get out of their small town or get money for college, or they all had, you know, there are many reasons why you'd sign up for service. And that was sort of the start of the rabbit hole that dropped me down into this life of military veterans. And I'm not a veteran myself. I never served. So I'm interested in the aftermath. I can't write a book about what it's like to go to war because I've never been there. But I can write about sort of the emotional consequences of that and how that might play out in your day-to-day life.
So what appeals to you about writing about the character Peter Ash?
You know, it's funny, when I started, for quite a while, I really didn't see the parallels to my own life, which is hilarious. It makes my wife laugh. The first book event I did for that, the first book in the series, and I'm the one that's coming out now, The Price You Pay, is number 8 in that series. But the first book in that series, somebody asked me how much I was like Peter Ash. And my answer was not at all. And it just cracked Margaret up because she sees so much of me in this character. And I have come to realize over the years that I am not him and he is not me, but he is sort of a representative of my worldview, of the way that I, sort of see things, and my attitudes toward the world are really represented in Peter. And it's become, you know, eight books is a fairly long running series at this point. And I have come to really know and love these characters, to know them so well. It's a little weird to sort of start writing something and realize, well, of course Peter would do this, or Lewis would do that, or, you know, the love of Peter's life, named June Cassidy. Oh, this is June's attitude. I was at I did a charity book club, where people were bidding for the dubious right to have me at their book club. And as a result, I was in a house in an affluent suburb with, 20 really smart, accomplished professional women who were reading that first book. And at a certain point, they started arguing among themselves about what Peter would do. Oh, no, he wouldn't do that. He would do this. Oh, no, that's not who he is at all. And I just loved that, that the character had taken on a life of his own in a way that I never anticipated, that he is in a way real to people, like other fictional characters are real people to me. So it's been a really interesting process. And again, I'm not a veteran. I don't have post-traumatic stress. But I am familiar with the challenges of life. Let me just put it that way.
Well, what is the challenge for you of writing a series? And also, I was curious about kind of your process, and specifically as it pertains to a series. Do you come to each new book in the series kind of alone, or do you ever sit down and kind of think about threads that you may want to thread through, like, the next several novels? How does that work for you?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, I'm not smart enough to plan ahead like that. For me, it's like, oh my God, can I actually write another book? You know, I've written now 11 books, the first three of which I couldn't get published, but starting every new book, it's sort of like, can I really do this again? Like you sort of forget how to begin. There's a great interview with Lee Child, who you mentioned at the beginning of your intro, and where he was on his 20th novel in this series, and he told the interviewer that every time he sits down to begin a new novel, he wonders if he can actually do it again. And I'm very much like that. I'm not an outliner. I'm an organic writer, or what some people call a pantser. So I'm just making it up as I go along. And there are multiple challenges of writing a series, but just the challenge of writing a book is sufficient. Starting the second book, I really started to think about sort of Peter's progress through life, right? The goal, he starts out as a guy who really can't even be inside for long. He's got post-traumatic stress, and it takes the form of claustrophobia. So he really can't be inside for more than 15 or 20 minutes without having a full-blown panic attack. But he doesn't think of himself as broken. He's just sort of trying to figure out how to get stuff done. And I wanted to sort of show Peter's progress through life. How is he, what are the things that he does to get better, basically? And really the first five books are about that, but I didn't plan ahead. I didn't think, oh, in book six, I'll do this, in book seven. It's just thinking about sort of how do I want Peter to become more functional in the world? Do I want him to have a successful relationship? Do I want him to have a series of broken relationships? And it's in part because I have talked to so many veterans that I kind of want to chart a path for them. And I get so much response back. I get so many emails and messages online from people who are like, you know, I really like that first book, especially where it really resonated with people. I get stuff still from people who are like, I thought I was going crazy. I was ready to kill myself. And then I read your book and I realized that I have post-traumatic stress and I could get help. And like, that is not at all what I expected this to be like. I thought I was writing something fast and fun and exciting. It's got some humor in it. But to realize that it has some meaning to people over and above that is kind of a profound thing.
You mentioned earlier that you're an organic writer, you're not a heavy plotter. So given that, have you ever found a situation where you've kind of written yourself into a corner, or that you have to throw out a big chunk, or how does that work for you?
I don't end up throwing out big chunks. What happens to me is I get stalled. And I'm pounding my forehead against the proverbial wall and trying to figure out what happens next. And what I have learned over time is that it's not that I don't know what happens next. It's that I made a wrong turn somewhere. I made a decision that wasn't the right decision. And sometimes I've just introduced a new character and it's not the right kind of character. Sometimes I've made a plot choice. The book I'm working on now, I got stuck and I realized it's because I forgot I was laying the groundwork for this thing, but then I forgot I had to include this thing. So now I have to backtrack, oh, I don't know, 3,000 or 4,000 words and insert this scene. So I don't write a draft and then go back to the beginning and write a second draft and then go back to the beginning and write a third draft. For me, it's sort of one long, continuous process of writing and revision. So in a given day, I will go over the last couple of days worth of work as the first thing I do. And then I push the story forward, 1,000 words, 1,500 words. But if I stall out, I kind of go back and look, okay, now is there a choice I made? Did I take a wrong turn? And sometimes I can't find it. And then I go all the way back to the beginning and I edit through again. I really go through line by line with a pen on paper. And as I write, I try not to get bogged down with little things, you know, insert research here, right? I'm a big fan of the all caps note. But then I'll go in and I'll flesh out some of those things and I will even stuff like where, you know, there are two phrases that I can't decide between them and I get bogged down in that. I just put them both in brackets and I leave them both and I move on. And so then I'll go back and I'll make those choices. And by the time it's been a month since I wrote it or 3 months since I wrote it, the choices have become easy because it becomes unimportant. Just pick the one that you like better. But you know, by the time I get to the end of the book, I've really only got about 2 weeks worth of work to do to get it ready to go out to my editor.
What writing advice would you offer for those who are working on their own stories or novels?
Well, the thing that it took me a long time to realize is that it's really hard to write a good story. It's really, really hard to write a novel, especially your first novel. And it is my job as a writer to make it look and feel easy, right? I want the story and the paragraphs and the sentences to flow and to have it seem effortless, to have you not have to think about any of it and to just fall into the story. But that takes an enormous amount of work, and it is not representative of what the process of writing is actually like. So I think the thing that I can tell people who are writing something themselves, if you want to get a story published or finish a novel, is just to know that it's hard and to know that it's hard for everybody. I have friends who they're on their 25th book or their 30th book, and it's a challenge for them. It doesn't get easier. But just to know that you're not alone in this process, that every writer working to tell a story is fighting that same battle. So it's not your fault. It's not your problem. You're not doing it wrong. It's just challenging. And keep going.
Well, what novels or nonfiction books have you read recently that you enjoyed?
I've got a shelf of the books that have really meant a lot to me over the years that I keep coming back to. I'm a fan of Cormac McCarthy's Border Trilogy, starting with All the Pretty Horses, and they're for me the revelation of that series. So he won the National Book Award for All the Pretty Horses, and the language is beautiful, and the story is compelling, and the dialogue is great, and there are terrifying moments and hilarious moments, but at its base, it's a cowboy story. And what I got from that was that you can tell any kind of story you want. It was almost permission, right, to be a crime writer. Because I started out wanting to be Ernest Hemingway, and then I wanted to be Jim Harrison, and then I wanted to be Cormac McCarthy. But it was Cormac McCarthy that gave me permission to want to write crime stories and to know that you can also write about the human condition, the things that concern us all. So those are books that have meant a lot to me. What else am I looking at here? Winter's Bone by Daniel Woodrell is one of my all-time favorites. Again, I'm a big rereader, so I've read that book, I don't know, 4 or 5 times, and it is so stripped down and perfect. There's also a book that got a fair amount of attention when it was published, and it came out the same year my first book did. It's called Dodgers by a guy named Bill Beverly. And that is also one of my all-time favorites. Bill has not written anything since then, which kind of breaks my heart because he's a crazy talented guy. Thing that really knocked my socks off came out a couple of years ago called 5 Decembers by a guy named James Kestrel. Mm-hmm. And that's a historical set in Hawaii and Asia. And it's a crime story. It's a detective in pursuit of a killer, but it happens sort of in the backdrop of the Second World War. So he goes to Hong Kong in pursuit and gets captured first by the Chinese, and then the Japanese take over there, or maybe it's Taiwan. Then the Japanese take over the island. So then he's a captive of the Japanese. And it's beautifully written. It's, you know, gorgeous sentences, great characterization, surprising stuff, lots of emotion. I could go on and on.
Where can people find you online if they'd like to learn more about you and your Peter Ash novels?
NickPetrie.com is my website. And if you're interested, there's a newsletter you can sign up for that'll pop up when you go to that website. I'm on formerly known as Twitter and also Instagram. I'm at _NickPetrie_ and on Facebook as Nick.Petrie.author. So you can find me lots of places.
Again, we've been speaking to Nick Petrie, author of the Peter Ash series. Petrie's latest novel is The Price You Pay. The novel is available now, so go buy a copy. And Nick, thanks for doing this interview.
Thanks, Jeff. I really appreciate the conversation.
Absolutely.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.